Tonight we continue the series of in our study of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 that we've been engaged in for the last few Sunday nights. And we've been looking at the specific parts of the armor of God, understanding the overall point and teaching that he gives us, beginning in verse 10, for us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So this is what God has provided. We know that we are in a battle against sin, and we know that there's a lot of temptation that comes before us. The devil is very strong. We also know that we've faced defeat, spiritually speaking, in our past at various times. Yet the Lord is giving us some very good news, which is what the gospel is, the good news, in that he has provided an armor for us to put on. He has strength to give to us that will enable us to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And what is possible with that? Well, when we put on the whole armor of God, as he tells us to do, there in verse 11, then he says we are able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Fat says it three times and tells us in verse 14, stand therefore. Well, he wouldn't say that if it were not his will, that it was not his intention, and if he had not provided and is not providing for us all that we need to be able to stand in our spiritual battle. Against the wicked one. And as he then says in verse 14, stand therefore, he goes into the specific parts, the detailed parts of that whole armor of God. We need to put all the parts on. That's what the whole armor is. But we've already studied about having our loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So tonight we want to turn our attention in our study to verse 15, where he says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, when we're looking at these parts of the armor, the first part, as we noted when he says having your loins girt about with truth, that girt about, that's the word for the belt. And then the breastplate was next. Well, now we're looking at what our footwear is as a soldier of Christ in battle. We have to have, just as we have to have those vital organs protected by the breastplate, and as we have to have everything tied together with that belt and for our weaponry to have its attachment point and all of those things. So we also have to have our feet protected. And, I mean, no soldier goes into battle barefoot. We understand that. And we can read many references about the necessity and the importance for soldiers having the proper footwear, and that remains the case today. All soldiers are going to have their boots, and having proper footwear is essential. There are other words involved here, so it's not just having our feet shod, but it's what they're to be shod with. And when he says with the preparation of the gospel of peace, there's a lot in there. So that's what we want to try to look at here in our study tonight. So we could easily stretch this out to an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours and more. So we have about 30 minutes to condense this, but let's give it our best try in our study here. The meaning of having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, first of all, that word for shod is hupodeo, which is a word to bind under one's feet. That's the literal meaning of it. So it's a compound word. Hupo is under, and so we need to is to bind under one's feet. Well, that's what is done with the shoes. And so if we turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 11, we can see how this is included in the essential items for being ready to urgently move. I said Ecclesiastes, I meant Exodus 12, verse 11. Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. He says, "And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded." We looked at this verse a couple of lessons ago when he told us to have our loins girded about with truth, and how having the belt on, tightened, ready to go, is very essential when it's time to move and there's a serious situation before us. Well, having our shoes on, laced up, tightened up, and ready to go, that's also very important. So Exodus 12:11 says, "And thus shall you eat it." This is concerning the Passover. He says, "With your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Well, they were going to have to move that night when the angel of the Lord came through, brought that tenth plague by smiting the firstborn in Egypt. He was going to pass over the houses of the Israelites. But when that happened, they were going to have to move and get out of Egypt. Well, was this going to be the time to say, "Well, hold on a minute, I got to get my shoes on. Let me go find them"? I mean, that's not the right way to be dealing with that situation. So he told them to have their belt on, have their shoes on, their staff in their hand. They needed to be ready to go, and they were going to have to eat in haste and get moving. So then 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 5, 1 Kings 2, verse 5, shows us how this is definitely a part of the soldier's equipment. He says, "Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner, the son of Ner, and unto Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet." Well, this is David speaking to his son Solomon. This is shortly before David's death, among his last words and instructions to his son Solomon, who was about to reign as king over Israel. Joab, David's cousin, had served as his captain, what we call the general. He was at the top, the number one guy as the leader of the army. And he did evil in that position, and that's what he was instructing Solomon to do, to bring judgment on him for that evil. But in describing that as a soldier, he had his belt on and his shoes on. Now, unfortunately, in his case, he had on all that equipment as a soldier and then went out and did evil. But as far as identifying these important elements or parts of a soldier's armor, we can see that's very much included there. Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah 5, 26 and 27. We've seen this also, but in describing the Lord and his work, he says, "And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth, and behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble among them, none shall slumber nor sleep, neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken." So again, there's the picture of these very mighty warriors, and describing the parts of their armor, and there's the belt and the shoes. Those two we see together over and over again mentioned. So it's certainly not a surprise that when he's speaking about our spiritual armor, that he's going to include what he teaches in Ephesians 6 and verse 15 about having our feet shod and what they're to be shod with as soldiers of Christ. Well, what are they to be shod with? He says, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That first word there, preparation. Well, that word means exactly as it's translated, that particular Greek word there. It means literally adjusted to prepare or preparation. So that's exactly how it's translated, and it has everything to do with our doing what is necessary to be prepared. There's a Hebrew word, Greek word for that, as there is an English word for that, and we have scriptures in both Old and New Testaments that emphasize our preparation. And especially for a soldier going into battle, is there preparation that has to take place before that, before the battle is engaged in? And the answer is yes, and the soldiers have to get ready, prepare for that. So Joshua chapter 4 is an example. Joshua 4 verse 13 says, "About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho." That's describing the beginning of the conquest of Canaan that God gave to the children of Israel, led by Joshua. But here were these soldiers of the Israelites having crossed the Jordan River and now ready to go against Jericho, which was the first city in Canaan to fall. But he says those 40,000 were prepared for war. Well, we're in a spiritual war. Are we prepared for it? Well, we need to be, and he says we have to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 18, he says, next to him was Jehozabad, and with him 104,000 ready, prepared for the war. There's just another scripture that mentions the soldiers and how they were prepared for war. 2 Chronicles 26, 14 and 15 says, "And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and harbingens and bows and slings to cast stones." A lot of those parts of the armor that we read about. There's a shield, spear, helmet, harbingens. Well, that's the word for breastplate. So many of the elements of a soldier's armor are mentioned there. And King Uzziah prepared for his army the equipment, the armor that they would need for the battle, just as our Lord has prepared for us the armor we need for our battle, our spiritual battle. And then it says, "And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong." That's what God was doing with him while he followed the Lord. Sadly, he departed from the Lord after he gained that strength from God. That's another lesson itself. But here we can see those the preparation for battle and with the parts of the armor that involves. Well, spiritually speaking, we have to prepare our hearts to serve the Lord and fight in that spiritual battle that we're in. We have a lot of scriptures that tell us how we need to prepare our hearts. We need to prepare our hearts because we're going to be in a great battle against the wicked one. And we need to stand against his wiles. So we have to prepare our hearts to do that. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3. 1 Samuel 7, 3. It says, "And Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, If you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." Preparing our hearts. Well, how do we do that? I mean, those are very good words, but do we understand, and does the Lord teach us what that involves? I mean, how do we prepare for our spiritual battle? Well, if we are not holy to the Lord, where we are set apart to serve him, where we're going to be living for him and serving him only, I mean, are we prepared to be in a battle where he is to be on our side and we're fighting the Lord's battle spiritually? Well, we can't be divided in our minds, and we can't be entangled in other things. So here in 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 3, these ones that he told them to prepare their hearts, he told them then to put away the idols that they had been involved in worshiping. And not only that, but he emphasized there for them to prepare their hearts to the Lord and serve him only. Well, they hadn't been doing that. So for us to prepare our hearts means we need to get ourselves ready to be only serving the Lord, not to be involved in other things. I mean, can a soldier go into a battle and fight if the soldier is wrapped up in other things other than the battle at hand? I mean, that is not that's going to guarantee defeat. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where he's telling us to be good soldiers of Christ, in 2 Timothy 2 verse 4, he says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So to prepare our hearts and to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we can't be entangled with the affairs of this life. And as Samuel instructed the people to prepare our hearts to the Lord, we need to put away everything, anything and everything that doesn't serve him and work his righteousness. Serve the Lord only, where we are engaged in the battle that we're in with no distractions, no involvement in any other affairs. 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 3. 2 Chronicles 19:3 says, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee." This is God through his prophet speaking to Jehoshaphat the king. He says, "There are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." So there's an example of a man who was righteous and had done that. And there are others that we read about in the scriptures also. 2 Chronicles 27 and verse 6 says, "So Jotham," here's another king, "became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God." 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verses 18 through 20, says, "For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh and Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, 'The good Lord pardon everyone that prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary.' And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people." So he was praying for these ones who had prepared their hearts now to seek God. And actually, if we looked at that in a lot more detail, we would see in the context there, these were people, those tribes that he mentions that came to this Passover that Hezekiah held, and he called these ones from the northern kingdom. They weren't even the ones that he was reigning over of his brethren. This was the remnant of the people that were left of the northern kingdom, and he was trying to get them to repent after 200 years of rebellion against the Lord, and many of these did. And so they prepared their hearts to seek the Lord. And so God was very attentive to Hezekiah's prayer for them there. Ezra chapter 7 verse 10 says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." That ties in very well with Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Of course, we know the gospel, that is the New Testament. So that is the word of God that we're under. Well, Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and then to teach others. But we need to do the same thing. And that's part of, that's what we're preparing our hearts for. And that is really what we're going to have on our feet for this battle. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. Luke 1:17 says, concerning John the Baptist, and this was what was spoken about what he was going to do. And it says, "And he shall go before him," of course before Christ, "in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Well, we need to be prepared for the Lord. We need to be a people ready and prepared for the Lord to serve him and to fight in this spiritual battle, this war that we're in. Now, some do not prepare properly, and we have scriptures that tell us about them as a warning, like King Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, in 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14. where it says, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And then we have another example in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 33 when it says, howbeit the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. So the preparation of the heart to serve the Lord only, it's associated with obedience to the commandments of God and receiving the Lord's blessings and his help in our whatever our situations are in life. And on the other side, those who do not prepare themselves and prepare their hearts to seek the Lord, they do not receive the Lord's blessings. And we find that they are not obedient to the Lord, as we should not be surprised to see that that would be the result. In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 12, 47 and 48, we have a warning about a very plain warning, Luke 12, 47 and 48. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. Now, if we were to ask the question, well, which of those two do we want to be? Well, the proper answer is neither. We need to be the one who does the Lord's will. We don't want to be beaten with any stripes, do we? I mean, that's talking about in eternity, eternal punishment. So those aren't, that's an eternal beating that he's describing there. Well, some are going to receive more punishment in eternity than others, but we don't want to be punished for eternity at all, do we? Well, then what do we need to do? Well, we need to prepare ourselves. The ones who knew the Lord's will but did not prepare themselves, didn't do according to his will. So we as followers of Christ, we know the Lord's will. We need to be prepared for the battles that we're involved in. Otherwise, we're not going to do the Lord's will. That's what the devil's tempting us to do, is to go and not do the Lord's will, to disobey him. If we don't prepare ourselves, then that's what's going to happen, and we're going to have a very severe judgment. Well, how do we, what are some of the things we can do as part of that preparing our hearts to seek the Lord? Well, we've already seen how we need to have our minds turned to serve the Lord only, not to be entangled with the affairs of this life. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, do we have to, if we're going to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, do we need to know that word? Well, don't we need to be like Ezra and prepare our hearts to seek the law of the Lord, his word, so that we can do it? Well, that's what he did. We need to do the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, getting directly into the application to our spiritual war, 2 Corinthians 2, 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, if we're not diligently seeking to know God's word, how are we going to know our enemy and his devices? How are we going to stand against the wiles of the devil? And I believe we pointed out before that word wiles, methodes, is the Greek word for wiles. Methods, his methods, those devices, the way he works. Well, he operates according to certain methods. He uses certain tactics against us, just like any enemy would in battle. And does God tell us about our enemy and teach us how he works, what he does, so that we can know our enemy? Now, how many nations or armies go into battle without doing preparation to try to understand their enemy and to know as much about their enemy as possible? Well, I mean, that's what they refer to as intelligence and intelligence gathering. I mean, how crucial is that to warfare? To know what your enemy's up to, know what the enemy's plans are, what their tactics are going to be, and all of that. Well, if we are ignorant of our enemy and his devices, does the enemy have an advantage over us? Well, yes. And so how do we not have our enemy, the devil, have an advantage over us, he says, by not being ignorant of his devices. So we need to learn that from God's word. And Jesus also taught us to pray that we would enter not into temptation. That's all actually going to be a part of at the end of what he is describing as putting on the whole armor of God, to also pray always with all prayer and supplication. Well, Jesus taught us to pray for this in Luke chapter 11 and verse 4. He says, "And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Well, do we need to ask God to do that, to lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil? We must do that. Then in the same Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 40, when Jesus, on the night that he was going to be put on trial, that he was betrayed and would be tried, and then the following morning when he would go be delivered to be crucified, Luke 22, verse 40 says, "And when he was at the place," this is in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he took Peter and James and John, it says, "He said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation." He was specifically exhorting them to pray for that, for themselves. And then in verse 46, he says, "He said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." They had fallen asleep, but he was urging them more to pray that they wouldn't enter into temptation. So we don't want to neglect to do that. When we see the part about the gospel, as we pointed out, I mean, we know the word gospel is the word for the good news. I mean, that's what the word actually means. Well, that's what we need to have our feet prepared with, that gospel. That gospel of peace. We need to be like the ones that the scriptures tell us, like Enoch, who walked with God. Noah walked with God. Abraham and Isaac walked with God. David walked with God. Many others that we read about in scriptures walked with God. Zechariah and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1, since we were reading from that chapter earlier. We have a description of many of God's servants and how they walked with God. Well, they had prepared their hearts to seek the Lord. They knew his word, his teachings, and they were following it. And so they walked with God. Those were the steps they were taking. We have a lot of scriptures that teach us about walking according to his teachings, where our steps go. And that's why we have to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Lord asked in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Well, where do we find? We know we have to be in agreement with God. We can't walk one way where God's telling us to walk a different way and then claim to be in partnership with the Lord. For us to be together, we have to be in agreement. And it's not up to us to try to persuade God to agree with what we're doing when it's not his will. God is the one telling us what we need to do, and we need to make sure that we are agreeing with him by doing what he says. Well, we have to know what he says and follow that. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I mean, where are we going to find the steps that we need to walk in? It is only from God's word that we're going to have that. Jesus is the light of the world. In John 12:15, Jesus said to them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." Well, how can we avoid walking in darkness and just be stumbling around? How many people just stumble through life and they don't know what they're doing? They don't have any idea in their lives what they're doing as far as what their Creator has made them to do. That's most everybody. They're living their lives and they're ignorant of what their Maker has taught them and put them on this earth to do. And they're stumbling around in the darkness, and how many of them even know that that's what they're doing? Well, are we going to be like that? Are we just going to stumble through life in the darkness? Or do we want to see where we're going, know why we're here, know what we're supposed to do, and then do that? Well, that's where we have our God to show us and to teach us in His Word what we must do. 1 John 1:5 and 6 tells us then to walk in the light. This then is the message which we've heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So we need to walk in the light as He is in the light. 1 John 2 verse 11 says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So we have to walk in love. If we're going to walk in God's light, as He puts it in 1 John chapter 4, how can we love God whom we haven't seen if we don't love our brother whom we have seen? That's His question, and we know the answer to that. We can't. So if we're going to love God and walk in the light, we have to love one another. So we have to walk in love, which is exactly what Ephesians 5 verse 2 says. Ephesians 5 2 says, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us and has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So we need to walk according to His commandments. God is love, and His commandments teach us His love to walk in. And we see that also with the new commandment that Jesus has given to us, to love one another as He hath loved us, in John chapter 13 and 34 and 35. That last part when He says the gospel of peace. Well, what happens when we prepare our hearts to seek the Lord, follow Him, seek His Word, know His Word, keep His commandments? Are we going to have peace? We will. And who do we have peace with? We'll have peace, first of all, with God. We will have no peace with Him if we are not following His commandments. Just as we saw in Amos 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, Isaiah chapter 48, 22 says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. We're not going to be able to have peace with God unless we are walking after His commandments. So that's going to be one of the outcomes of our following His ways and having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That is a gospel of peace. We'll have peace with God. Is it important to have peace with the One who has the might and the power and has provided us the armor so that we can fight against our adversary and stand against the wiles of our adversary who's trying to prevent us and is tempting us to not walk according to our Creator's commandments? We're already defeated in battle if we are not following the Lord's teachings, and we can't have peace with God in that case. So that is an essential part of our footwear. So in closing, let's read from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 through 27. He says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Tonight is an opportunity for you to turn to the Lord if you've not yet done so, to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Or if you are a follower of Christ, if you've not been a good soldier, and if you need to return to Him so that you and put on that whole armor so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil, this is an opportunity for you to make things right with Him at this time. So we want to encourage anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation to do so while we stand together and sing.